السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، أما بعد، فقال الله تبارك وتعالى في شأن حبيب الكريم: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا وحضرتنا مولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. صلاة وسلام عليك سيدي يا رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليك وسلم. Once again, week after week, we make shukr, we make hamd to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He is able to allow us to gather in His masjid once again, the best of places, on the best of days, and for the best of purposes. The best of purpose being the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His ibadah. The sole reason why we have been created is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this has been iterated in the Quran by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. We have not created mankind nor jinn except to worship Him, except to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created jinn or mankind except to worship. This is our purpose. The purpose of humankind, the purpose of humans, and the purpose of jinns. Our only purpose in this world is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the one of the most beautiful things about this ummah, the ummah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have been given special privileges which no other ummah has been given. We have been granted special ranks which no other ummah, the ummah of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, the followers of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, the followers of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and so on and so forth, they were not granted these privileges. Some of these privileges are, for a person who is from the ummah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he wants to rack up on his good deeds, if he wants to earn the most good deeds, one of the ways to earn good deeds is to provide a halal income for your family, to work for your family. This in itself is a form of ibadah, and this will in turn grant you good deeds. Just to work for the sake of your family and to provide them a halal income, to provide them food, to put food on the table, to provide them shelter, water. Providing this for your family is a form of sadaqah. It is a form of charity. This is what the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in a hadith. This hadith has been iterated in the major books of hadith. That the one who provides for his family with halal income, this is a form of sadaqah for him. It is a form of charity for him. So those who, you know, may have this struggle that, you know, I want to come to the masjid more often. I want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the masjid every single day more often. And this should be a hope that every single one of us should have. But in this world that we live in, it's not always practical to have this sort of wish. You can continue wishing, but some of there's practicality as well. The practicality is you may not always be able to come to the masjid. You may not always be able to do the forms of ibadah that you want to do. You may not be able to perform the nawafil that you want to perform. You may not be able to fast on the days that you want to fast on. We talk about nawafil, the faraid you have to do regardless. The five daily salah, the fast in Ramadan, these must be done regardless. I'm speaking about the nawafil here. So if you want to perform extra nawafil, you need to come to the masjid more often. You need to do more things with, you know, in terms of nawafil, but you're unable to do so because of your work. This is not a problem. This is not an issue. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as you're earning halal income and your intention is to provide for your family, your intention is to provide food for your wife, for your kids, for your parents, provide them a house, provide them anything else that they need. This in itself can be enough to take you to Jannah. Just this act alone of working. But we must ensure this work that we perform is halal. If the income that you earn is haram income, then there's no benefit in this. You may become a billionaire, you may become a millionaire, but all of that money, there's no barakah in this. If you have £5 that was earned halal, even £5 that wasn't just halal, these £5 is greater than having £1 billion in your account. Because that £5 earned through halal had barakah inside. This barakah you may not be able to see physically, but as the years come down, you'll feel the barakah of these £5. You'll feel that, you'll see, you'll notice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He'll answer your du'as. Someone who earns haram income, when he makes du'a, his du'as are not accepted. The one who earns halal income, and he continues to earn halal income throughout his life, and he makes dua, his duas are more likely to be accepted than the one who earns haram. When you earn haram income, it doesn't just harm yourself, It doesn't just take you into Jahannam. The people who you feed with this haram money, the people who you clothe with this haram money, they will also be questioned for this as well. Think about this. You earn some haram money. With this haram money, you go and buy some milk, or you go and buy some sugar, and then you feed this to your family. You give milk to your children, or you put sugar in your chai, you put sugar in your tea. This is not haram. It's haram to consume, haram to drink. So anyone who drinks this haram milk, they've unintentionally consumed haram milk. This is not impermissible for a human being to drink. Right? It's the same way as saying we cannot drink pig milk because it comes from a pig. And this is haram. The same way if you buy cow milk with haram money, this cow milk is no longer halal for you to consume. This cow milk becomes haram. Anyone that you feed with this haram milk, they will also be affected spiritually. When they grow up, they'll also be affected in their personality, their characteristics. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us many times throughout his life that watch what you eat. You should watch what you eat. Where your money comes from. Is your rizq, is your money coming from halal or is your money coming from haram? Because if it is coming from haram, it doesn't just affect you, but it affects your entire family, it affects your entire nasab. The people that live in your house, will affect them as well. And perhaps further down the line, the children that you raise in this household, they will turn out to become the drug dealers in the street. They may turn out to become the gangsters that live on the corners. They may be the ones that will be shotting weed on the streets as well. This can be the detrimental effects of haram money. Haram money is something that is very, very, you know, it's prevalent in our society. People are unaware of how does money become haram. There are many ways money can become haram. For those who work in business, it is farther for you to learn the rules of trading. In Islam, we have rules on how to trade, and how to buy and how to sell. I've touched upon this before. Buying and selling has its own rules within Islam. If you do not follow these rules, you have gone against Sharia. You have gone against the laws that Allah set down. When you go against the laws that Allah set down, now you're treading the path of haram. And once you've treaded this path, then now you can be earning haram money as well. And this again affects your family, it affects yourself, affects your household. And if you look further into the future, it'll affect the society as a whole as well. Just by one household earning haram money. Now, the one other thing that you can mention about haram and haram money is suhba. Suhba meaning companionship. The saying goes, ad-deenu suhba. The deen, the religion, is companionship, is your friendship. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you are upon the deen of your friend. You are upon the religion of your friend. Meaning, the people who you hang around, the people whom you stay with, you stay in their circles, you chill at their houses, or you go out with them. The circles that you sit in, these are the circles that influence you the most. Your friends, your family. If you stay with your family, they can influence you as well. The friends at school, your friends at college, your friends at work. All these are groups, all these are circles. You may have more than one circle. You may have a circle at home. You may have a circle at school. You may have a circle at the masjid. You may have different circles. And each circle has an influence on your personality. Each circle has an influence on your characteristics. It's an influence on your actions. Ad-deenu suhba. The religion, the deen is suhba. The people that you stay with, you must ensure that these people are also following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These people are those who act upon the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is very important. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a very beautiful example. This example was, if you have a friend, this friend was a blacksmith. This friend was a blacksmith, meaning he deals with weapons. He creates weapons. He works in a very hot environment where there's ash, where there is a sulfur. Right? Sulfur is an element that stinks a lot. It's a very pungent odor. There's ash in that place, meaning ash can get on your clothes. Make your clothes stink. Make your clothes look dirty. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if somebody has a friend and this friend is a blacksmith, then even if he doesn't work with the blacksmith, but he just visits the friend, then when he visits the friend, his clothes will become dirty. He will have a foul odor in his nose, a pungent smell. His eyes may begin to sting. And even if he doesn't go to visit the friend, but the friend comes to visit him, you may be affected because you can smell the smells of him. Because he works as a blacksmith, it's his job. Even if he cleans his clothes, there'll still be a small smell left. This is how powerful the smell of ash can be on smoke. Then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave another example. He said, now look at the example of a seller of perfumes. The seller of perfumes. Look at this example now. When you go to visit him, you will smell beautiful smells. You'll be met with a smile. People who sell perfumes, you'll notice, they always have a jolly personality. They're always quite happy. They're always quite smiling. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives this example as well. That when you go visit your friend, who is a musk seller, who sells perfumes, you will benefit because either you can smell something nice or he may even gift you some perfume. And even if you don't visit him but he visits you, then you will still smell something nice. You won't want to go away from him. You want to stay with him because he will smell nice. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the example of the blacksmith is the example of a bad friend. An example of a perfume seller is the example of a good friend. I'm not saying that people who are blacksmiths are going to be bad friends and people who are perfume sellers are going to be good friends. We're looking at the example here. The example being the effects that they can have on you. The effects that they can have on your body, your spirituality. Not necessarily your clothes or your nose, but they can have an effect on your heart. Every single person you interact with can have a lasting effect on somebody. When you give salam to someone, give salam as if they're your best friend. This is how we should be giving salam as Muslims. When we, nowadays, when we give salam to one, it's like, assalamu alaikum, like this. You just give one hand, you barely make eye contact. There's no love in this. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he come for? Rahmatul lil alameen, he came as a mercy to the entire universe. He came to show us what love is. If you want to look at examples of love, you look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. Look at Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Look at the love he had for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we give salam to one another, this is the first track that you can have. When you give salam, you give with two hands. The right hand mainly, and the left hand on top. Give salam, you smile at the person, make eye contact. And the awliya, the pious saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have mentioned about just giving salam, that when you give salam to somebody, these two hands, when they join, it sort of joins the hearts together as well and increases love. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith Sharif that when two Muslims, when they shake hands with one another and then they depart, before they have departed, all their sins between them will be forgiven. Just by giving salam, shaking hands and saying assalamu alaikum. You can also make a dua and may Allah forgive you. You can make this dua as well. May Allah forgive me and you. Yaghfiru Allah lana wa lakum. You can make this dua too. Or you can give the salam, assalamu alaikum. And just by doing this, all your sins can be forgiven. Minor sins. All the minor sins can be forgiven just from a small handshake. And imagine every single day if you give salam to all the brothers here. You give salam to every single person. Imagine how many sins of yours can be forgiven. As I say before, and I've said this again, I'll say this again. The deen is very easy. You hear this from everybody. The religion that we have, it is very, very simple. Very, very easy. The rules that we have from 1400 years ago, they can still apply to today. Whether it is in our eating, whether it is in our walking, drinking, whether it is in work, whether it is in school. We can follow Islam. We can practice Islam freely. Alhamdulillah. And it is not difficult to act upon Islam. People who say that, you know, Islam has become a very difficult religion, they have not heard of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mercy of Allah is the greatest. It is unlimited. You mentioned this last week about the sifat, the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All His qualities are unlimited. They do not have any beginning, nor do they have any end. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest thing. No human being's sin can be greater than the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you think that your sins are greater than His mercy? No. Allah's mercy is greater than all of our sins combined. And if He wills, He can forgive all of us. Just by sitting here, He may have forgiven us. Just by coming to Salatul Jum'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that from Jum'ah to Jum'ah, your sins are forgiven. From one Jum'ah to the next Jum'ah, all your minor sins within the week are forgiven. Just by attending the Jum'ah Salah. Again, this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bear this in mind, inshallah. And hopefully from next week, we'll have some other topics. There's a few announcements. I think Brother Yasin, inshallah, is coming today with the donation box. The masjid relies upon your donations, the services that we provide, the programs that we run, the courses that we have, the madrasa that we have, they all run upon your donations. So please do donate to the masjid and help provide for the future generations, inshallah. From tonight, after Salatul Asr, from 7:30, we have our Reviving Light gathering. And this will be for all brothers and sisters. Refreshments will be provided. There will be the recitation of Quran, recitation of Islamic poetry, and the praise of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. English speeches, there'll be a quiz, there'll be prizes, there'll be dhikr. So do attend, inshallah, and benefit from this gathering. It's every single Friday after Salatul Asr. Next is on Sunday, we have a Hajj seminar and exhibition. This will be run on Sunday after Salatul Dhuhr. So Sunday after 1:30, it'll be run by Sheikh Kaleem Al-Azhari. He studied in the university in Cairo, Azhar University. He studied there. He's a very good English-speaking scholar, mashallah. He's very knowledgeable as well. Even if you're not going for Hajj this year, it's still an opportunity to sit at the feet of the scholars and learn from them. Even if you're not going for Hajj, even if you've already been for Hajj, still come and sit with the scholars and benefit from them, inshallah. It's said that learning one ruling, one masla, one issue of fiqh, is greater than spending the entire night in ibadah. Just by learning one rule, one part of fiqh. So come down, inshallah, and earn benefits and rewards as well. Finally, we have the ladies program every Tuesday from 10:30 to 12:30. Every Tuesday for ladies only. This will be in the basement. So those of you who have sisters or mothers at home, please do let them know and they can benefit as well, inshallah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا
الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي فضل سيدنا مولانا محمد على العالمين جميعا وأقامه يوم القيامة للمذنبين المتلوثين الخطائين الهالكين شفيعا فصلى الله تعالى وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى كل من هو محبوب مضي لديه صلاة تبقى وتدوم بدوام الملك الحي القيوم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فيا أيها المؤمنون رحمنا ورحمكم الله تعالى أوصيكم نفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل في السر والإعلان عن النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم البر لا يبلى والذنب لا ينسى والديان لا يموت عما ما شئت كما تدين تدان فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يرى ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يرى بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بالآيات وذكر حكيم إنه تعالى ملك كريم جواد بر رؤوف رحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين لا سيما على أول بالتصديق أمير المؤمنين أبي بكر الصديق رضي الله تعالى عنه وعلى أعد الأصحاب أمير المؤمنين أبي حفص عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه وعلى جامع القرآن أمير المؤمنين عثمان بن عفان رضي الله تعالى عنه وعلى أسد الله الغالب أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله تعالى عنه وعلى ابنه الكريمين الشهيدين أبي محمد الحسن وأبي عبد الله الحسين رضي الله تعالى عنهما وعلى أمهما سيدة النساء البتول الزهراء رضي الله تعالى عنها وعلينا معهم يا أهل التقوى أهل المغفرة اللهم انصر من نصر دين سيدنا مولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ربنا يا مولانا واجعلنا منهم واخذ من خذل دين سيدنا مولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ربنا يا مولانا ولا تجعلنا منهم عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وأجل وأهم وأعظم وأكبر عباد الله يرحمكم الله
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليك وسلم Please ensure that your sufuf, your rows are straight, that you are shoulder to shoulder, there are no gaps in the middle or at the ends of the sufuf. If there's space in the saf in front of you, fill that gap in first before starting the second. And also, please turn your mobile phones off or on silent. جزاكم الله خير. الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين لم يكن الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب والمشركين منفكين حتى تأتيهم البينة رسول من الله يتلو صحفا مطهرة فيها كتب قيمة وما تفرق الذين أوتوا الكتاب إلا من بعد ما جاءتهم البينة وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين حنفاء ويقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة وذلك دين القيمة إن الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب والمشركين في نار جهنم خالدين فيها أولئك هم شر البرية إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات أولئك هم خير البرية جزاؤهم عند ربهم جنات عدن تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه ذلك لمن خشي ربه. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. اللهم آمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. صلاة وسلام عليك سيدي يا رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليك وسلم. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام وإليك يرجع السلام. فحين ربنا بالسلام ودخلنا جنة دار السلام. تبارك ربنا وتعاليت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا حساب الميزان. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم ارحمنا يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم ارزقنا يا خير الرازقين. اللهم انصرنا يا خير الناصرين. اللهم انصر وارحم أهل فلسطين. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا خطايانا كلها يا رب العالمين. اللهم إنا نسألك العافية وعلما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وعملا متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا وارحم موتانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم ببركة. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. الصلاة والسلام عليك سيدي يا رسول الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك سيدي يا حبيب الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا خاتم المعصومين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.